Every year, an increasing number of men who are in the ministry and who've been in the ministry a long time bail out. They just decide to walk away. And when you ask them why, there are probably several reasons, but one of the primary reasons is they get tired and weary and worn and burnt out, and they say, I just can't handle it anymore. And so though they know that God has called them to preach the gospel and to serve Him as a pastor or whatever it might be, they just walk away. And oftentimes we might be critical of that kind of response. And yet I suppose if we were in their shoes and feeling what they feel and thinking what they think, we probably may not be so critical. But how can God call someone to preach the gospel and require them to do something that they absolutely cannot do? That is, how is it that we get weary and worn and finally just say, I know God's called me, but I can't handle it and I'm leaving? Well, not only does that happen to pastors, but it happens to other staff members in churches. Not only that, but it happens to people in churches, members who have taught for years or have served in some fashion. They say, well, you know, I'm just tired, I've got to have a break, and I just have to quit. And they walk away. And it's always been interesting to me how God can call people, and they can believe what He says in His Word, and yet somehow just say, well, you know, I'm tired of serving God. Well, you know, if I'd have felt that way, I'd have quit a long time ago. I'm tired of serving God. That's one thing to be tired. It's something else to be tired of serving God. And as I look back and think about where I learned my first lesson about walking in the strength and the power of God and serving Him in His strength and not in my own, I learned it not in a seminary. And let me say up front, I've had to learn it more than once. I've had to learn it again and again, and oftentimes I've failed. But the first time I ever learned the lesson, at least thought I had learned it well at that time, I didn't learn it in the seminary or reading a book. In fact, you would never guess where I learned it. I learned it at an airport. Standing there waiting for the plane to arrive, and this little lady got off the plane. And she was about 73 years of age, somewhere thereabouts. And she's coming to speak at my church, the First Baptist Church in Miami. Her name is Bertha Smith, 40 years a missionary in China. I said, Bertha, there's one thing I want to know. And I had heard all the stories of things that she'd been through, and I mean bombings. I mean, you know, you name it, she'd been through it. I said, Bertha, would you please tell me at your age, how is it that you're three paces ahead of me everywhere we go? I will never forget what she said. She says, I don't go in my own strength. I go in the strength of the Lord. Well, I heard that, and I thought, that sounds good. And I said, well, now tell me that again. You mean what you're saying is that you don't go in your own strength, you go in the strength of the Lord. She said, that's right. I don't have to go in my strength. I have His strength to go in. And she says, if I'd have been going in my strength, I'd have come home from China years ago. She says, I just go in the strength of the Lord. Well, I'm sure I probably didn't I know I didn't understand what she meant at the time. But I want you to know that if she had said nothing else to me over the years, I had to believe her because she died at 101. And not only that, I believe it was 101, 102. And not only that, her schedule was out into 106 because she really expected to live until Jesus came. And so here's a woman who learned a secret. Well, I kept thinking, now, what do you mean you walking and living and serving in the strength of the Lord? Well, she sent me back to Philippians 4:13, where I want you to come to tonight. And in this 11th through the 19th verses, he said he'd learned three great valuable lessons. One of those lessons was to be content in whatever circumstances. He could experience contentment in whatever circumstances in verse 11 and verse 12. And then in verse 13, that he had strength for all things. And in verse 19, that he had supply for every need. Now, we've been talking about the supply for every need. And so this evening, what I would like to do is to talk about this strength he talks about here for every need. And all of us can quote this verse. It's one of the shortest verses. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I want us to look at two simple things about this passage. And first of all, it's the boast that Paul makes. Now, think about this. Here's the fellow who says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I've heard people take that verse and say, man, I can do anything. That's not what Paul said. He didn't say he could do anything. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's interesting as you look at this verse, if you took a Greek Bible and looked at it, this is the way it would read. And these are the way the words are. All things. All things is the way the verse begins. All things I am enabled to do. All things I am enabled to do through Christ. Through the strength of Christ. So Paul just lays it out there. Anything, everything, I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. And what he says here, he says, I am enabled. I am enabled because of my relationship to him. I can do all things. He says, I am empowered by it. Now, the attitude behind this is certainly not pride and egotism, man, you name it, and I can do it. It is not that at all. It is a sense of humility, because if you recall that Paul would never boast of himself in any fashion under any condition, because he said in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 14, may it never be that I should boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and out of the world. Paul said, you know, when I look around me, I don't see anything to boast about but one thing, and that is the cross. That is, everything that comes my way comes to the cross. Every single hope that I have, every single encouragement that I know of, all comes to the cross, because it is only by the crucifixion of Christ, by the atoning death of Christ, by the fact that he took all of my sin debt upon him and suffered my penalty, only through the cross am I reconciled to God, brought back into such a relationship with him that I am accepted by him, forgiven by him, redeemed by him. I am reconciled to him. I am in a relationship now whereby I'm in the family of God. And now I can walk in a relationship of feeling and knowing that I'm a forgiven son or daughter of God. He said, so everything comes to me through the cross. Apart from the cross, no redemption, no salvation, no forgiveness. Apart from that, what do I have? I have only what I can do. Paul says, you'll never find me boasting about anything but the cross. So this is not a boast on his part. This is a humble confession and admission. It is a confirmation. It is a confession. It is a declaration of courage. It is a declaration of confidence that because of his relationship to Christ, he has learned that no matter what kind of condition he is in, no matter what he's facing, he knows that he can do it and that he can be victorious, because that's what this verse says. He says, I can do, that is, all things I will be enabled to do, that is, to overcome, to be victorious in, no matter what it is, as a result of my relationship to Christ. So, when we think about the things that you and I have to do, the things that we're called upon to do, the truth is that God nowhere ever intends for us to serve him, to follow him, to do anything for him in our own strength. Now, once in a while, I personally have to learn that again and again, to remind myself who it is that's promised to enable us to carry out the work that God has called us to do. And that's true in anybody and everybody's life. Whether you are a homemaker, taking care of your family, whatever it might be, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, he didn't say I can do all things, but all things through Christ who strengthens me. What limits this? I can't do all things. First of all, because God doesn't want me to do all things. And I'll tell you something else. You and I can't even claim that verse of Scripture for anything that is not in the will of God for us. And oftentimes, people take on more than they can handle and more on their schedule than they can do. And then we run here and yonder and we are worn out and weary. Because you see, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot even begin to think in terms of trusting God for what he does not want me to do. So you have to read this verse, just like you do the 11th verse about contentment and the 19th verse about supply, always in the context of what's going on. Now you say, but what kind of life did Paul have to live? Turn back to 2 Corinthians for a moment. And here's a man who's making a boast, not out of pride and egotism and arrogance, but out of humility. And here's what he says. He says, I know, I can tell you, I can bear witness that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because, he says, because let me tell you what I have been able to do through Christ. He says, first of all, beginning in verse 23 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, he says, first of all, he says, in imprisoned, beaten times without number, often in dangers of death, 5 times I received the Jews 39 lashes. Now, friend, 39 lashes with either bone in the end of that whip or pieces of metal. And he says he was beaten 5 times. That means his body was a bloody mess. And to think about the fact that Paul could stand that kind of terrible punishment, agonizing punishment, he says 5 times it happened to him. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Listen, that means 8 times he got a Roman beating. Now, most of us couldn't handle one of them. Not only that, once I was stoned and left for dead, by the way. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I spent in the deep, that is, floating on something that kept him up, a piece of wood. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Now, how many of you in the light of that have ever had a hard time? Not any of us. And you know what Paul said? He's writing out of a prison now to the Philippians. He's writing out of a prison. He says, I want to tell you, I've learned the secret. I've learned the secret of contentment. I've learned the secret of being able to walk and to serve and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, not in my own strength, but in His strength. He says, I've learned the lesson. And if you'll reread that 11th chapter, beginning in verse 23, of all the things that happened to him. Now, we can read through them quickly. But if you read through and ponder the fact that he was beaten 5 times, no man could stand that in his own strength. 5 times beaten with stripes, 3 times with rods, 3 times shipwrecked, all these other things that happened to him, stoned and left for dead. Let me ask you, how many pastors do you think today would have said after about 1 beating, God, I can't handle it, I'm leaving the ministry? 2 beatings, 3 beatings, 5 beatings, 8 beatings, shipwrecked 3 times, and everywhere he went, if you read the book of Acts, here's what you find about the Apostle Paul. Either before he arrived in a city to preach the gospel, or after he arrived, the Judaizers were there to stir up trouble and to attack him and try their best to assassinate him. This man had the most difficult lifestyle you can imagine. What does he say? He says, I want to tell you something. I can. I know what it means to be enabled, to be strengthened, to be empowered, to experience any and every type of difficulty, hardship in life, and to come through victorious through Christ who strengthens me. What is it that he knew? How is it that he kept going? And today, you know, Christians, once in a while, somebody give you a hard time, reject you, and you think, well, you know, and we pout, and we have our pity party, and we want somebody to feel sorry for us. Read the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Every time you get in a pity party mode, just read that chapter. Here's the man who learned how to walk in the strength and the power of God, not in his own. Now, what is it? That is, what is it about him, and what did he know that made it possible? And I think in my own personal life, though, I would never boast of anything because God knows I have plenty of weaknesses, lots and lots of them. But as I think in my own life, the greatest truth personally that I have ever experienced or learned is the truth that I learned right in this place, and that is that Jesus Christ is my life. That is the greatest truth that I have ever learned in my whole Christian life. He is my life. Everything else that I know revolves around that. It is the greatest truth because everything Paul says about contentment, everything he says about strength, and everything he says about supply is wrapped up in the fact that when Jesus Christ is our life, and we know that he's our life, then our supply then our contentment, then our energy, then our power, then our strength, then everything we need, we begin to realize it is not out there. It is not dependent on that and dependent on that and dependent on this and dependent on them and dependent on those. It is rather on the inside, ready to be released by the wisdom and the gift of God. So that we ought to operate from the ever-bubbling strength of Almighty God Himself. So, we said Paul boasted. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what was the basis of that boast? The basis of that boast was this. Paul knew and understood his position in Christ. And what is that position? It is the same position that every single believer can boast of and experience today. And that's this. And I want to tell you, most Christians will live their whole life and never understand this. They never will. Most Christians will live their whole life and never even hear it. Most Christians will live their whole life and wonder why this and why that and why the other. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, came to indwell you. That means a person of the Trinity, a person of the Godhead, now indwells, sits, that is at home in your spirit. That is the Spirit of God, a person of the Trinity, omnipotent Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. For what reason? In order to enable you to become, enable you to do all that God requires and all that He desires. To become everything God wants us to be and to do everything God wants us to do. Not sitting on the outside, sitting on the inside. The Spirit of God living within us, a person of the Trinity, the omnipotent Holy Spirit, the omniscient Holy Spirit, living on the inside of us. Paul knew what his position was. What was his position? He said, my position is, and this was his key phrase in the epistles. You can wrap up everything the Apostle Paul said in these two words. In Christ. He said, as Jesus said, I'm abiding in you and you're abiding in me. You and I have a personal relationship with Christ, wherein the Spirit of God now resides within us with all of His omnipotence. So our position in Christ is that we are the children of God. We have been reconciled to Him, redeemed by Him, forgiven by Him. We are brand new creations in Christ. We are the children of God. We bear His name and possess His life. We are eternally secure in Him. We are the servants of God. Every single child of God is a servant of the Lord, indwelt by the omnipotent Holy Spirit in order that every single thing God wants us to do. Listen, God has already assumed the responsibility for getting it done through us. That's why He says in 1 Thessalonians, He that calleth thee will also do it. That is, whatever He calls us to do, He guarantees the strength and the energy and the wisdom and the power to get it done no matter what. And so when you and I learn to operate out of the resource that is within us, walking and living and serving in the strength and the power of God, not in our own, then we're able to do, able to accomplish, able to keep going when other folks fall aside, able to keep moving through life. Whenever we begin to look within ourselves at our strength, we begin to measure what we think we can do. And we look at responsibilities and schedules and all the things that are going around us. We say, oh, God, I just can't. Right. We absolutely cannot. But you see, He didn't teach us to look at ourselves, and Paul didn't. You see, he understood his position, and his position was this. He was so related to Jesus Christ that every single solitary thing he needed and all the strength and the power to overcome all of the difficulty and the hardship was already his, deposited to his account, and all he had to do is to draw from that. Hudson Taylor, who was a wonderful, wonderful example of faith and probably demonstrated in a way that no one else has ever equaled in his whole missionary enterprise, worn out, weary, wanting to quit, sick, and all the things that could happen to a man in his position. One of his friends wrote him a letter and talked to him about this very thing, about drawing his strength from the Christ who was his life and indwelling him. He said all of a sudden he saw it. And when he saw it, from that moment on, he began to serve the Lord, not out of his own strength and energy, but out of the indwelling strength, the ever-flowing fountain that never ceases on the inside of us. He lived to be about 90-some years of age. And you see, he went through difficulty and hardships and trials and tribulations. And you see, we look at ourselves and we think about our hard times and we think, oh, dear Lord. But listen, God specializes in energizing the weak. And there's nothing wrong with saying I'm weak as long as I'm wise enough to say, but Lord, in you I am capable. I am enabled through the Spirit of God who indwells me. He understood what his position was. The second thing about the Apostle Paul was this. His perspective was right. When he thought about Christ, what did he think about? Well, certainly he must have thought about Christ in ways that satisfied and settled the issue in his own life, because he's the one who wrote this. Listen to what he wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He said, you want to know what Jesus is like? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. But by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He said, look, the person who is indwelling me, Christ, he's the one who created it all. He's the one who holds it all together. So his perspective of Christ was this: omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, supreme sovereign of the universe. And so, because he said he was his strength and his very life, he knew that he was able to draw from the indwelling resource that was inexhaustible. He had his perspective right. His perspective was upon Christ. That is, his focus was upon Christ and not himself. When you look to see what he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was like a man who was walking in the river. He didn't have to worry about needing anything other than what was already present. God was ever supplying his need, no matter what it was. And so he said his position was settled, his perspective was settled, and then, of course, he knew the promises of God. And you think about what the Lord Jesus has promised us. He's promised us so many things, but think about the strength he's promised us. For example, the first chapter of Ephesians, how Paul is talking here about his prayer for the Ephesian Christians, and he says, verse 18, I pray that you'll see something, that you'll understand something. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And he says, I want you to know by experience what is the surpassing, that is, indescribable greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. That is, God is strengthening, empowering us, enabling us to face any and every single solitary situation we face. And he's the one who is there to empower us and to strengthen us, so that if you and I can learn to walk in his strength and serve out of his power, it doesn't mean we won't get physically tired and worn at times, but it means we'll never get tired, listen, of serving Jesus. And it means that we'll be able to go when others can't go. We'll be able to hang in there, and we will have an energy that is indescribable, a power that cannot be labeled as human, because God is there to enable us. You, for example, are college students, and you get lots of pressure on you at times, and exams come, and the pressure gets there, and you work also. You think, God, how am I going to do this? Listen, God is just as willing to empower a student as he is a pastor. He's just as willing to empower the businessman or the mother to do her work and to do his work as he is a pastor. I can do all things through Christ. He is my source. My source is within. Now, here's the big question. How do I tap into the source to get this energy moving in my life down here on this earth? Well, this is what I kept asking Bertha. I said, Bertha, now tell me. What I want to know is, I know the promises of Scripture, and Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Isaiah 40, he says, though young men shall stumble and fall, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. He says, they'll run, not be weary, walk and not faint. How is it you keep going? And it was so simple, I never caught it for years. She says, here's what I do. When I begin to serve the Lord in some area or I begin to feel weary and tired, she says, I just pause and remind Him of what He promised me and that I am at this moment drawing from His resource exactly what I need. She says, I just draw it by faith. I just draw it by faith. I just remind Him of what He promised and I draw it by faith. Well, that sounds simple, but let me ask you a question. How else would you do it? You see, how else would you do it except thank Him, trust Him, ask Him, believe Him, and do what? Then step out. You see, so many times we wait for God to get us up to what we think we need to do His work. That's not faith. Faith is, I step out where God told me to go, though I don't feel like it. Though I can't see my way clear, though I don't have the energy, I don't have the resources I think, I just have to step out by faith, trusting Him that as I go, He will strengthen me. So Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And once in a while, I'll meet young pastors who say, now, let me ask you a question. How is it that you, as you think about the ministry, you've got all these sermons to preach for all these years? How do you work all that out? One Sunday at a time. You know why? Because that's the only way you and I can live. One day at a time, one step at a time. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe Philippians 4:13, say amen? Then why do you give God an excuse for not serving Him? Well, no. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Either a can or a can't. Either I believe Him or I don't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Either I believe Him or I don't. Now you see, it all boils down to this. Do I understand how to draw from His inexhaustible resources? How do I draw? I simply draw by saying, Lord, I'm trusting You to enable me at this moment to accomplish, to achieve, to finish, to go through, to do, whatever it might be. I'm trusting in Your energy and Your strength. And I want to say again, doesn't mean you won't get tired, you won't get weary, but you won't burn out. I remember when I was first in seminary, people said, well, we want to burn out for Jesus. And that sounded real, I mean, just be a martyr for God. That sounds good. The only problem with it is totally unscriptural. Totally unscriptural. The Apostle Paul didn't burn out, getting shipwrecked 3 times, beaten 8 times, in prison, all that. He didn't burn out. You know why we burn out? Because we do not draw from the divine, holy, inexhaustible resource of Christ, who is our life. If He's my life, then He's responsible for all I need to be all I can be and to do all I can do. He is your life. And if He is your life, you can do anything, everything, all things through Christ, which means everything, anything, all things Christ requires of me, demands of me, sends me forth to do or to become, you can. You see, I can't doesn't fit who we are. Doesn't fit who we are. Omnipotence is indwelling you. And you have the key that unlocks all the power you need to accomplish whatever God calls you to do. And what is the key? Faith. I'm trusting You, dear God, for what I need at this moment. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't dare walk out here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night and walk up to this place if I thought I had to walk out here by myself. God help the man or the woman who does. Now, here's what I want you to see. God is just as interested in strengthening and energizing and empowering and equipping you to do what your role in life is as he is me or anyone else. You don't have to do it in your own strength. It all boils down to something real simple. Am I willing to say to him, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you for your energy and I'm thanking you for it. And step out and watch him do it. Young men shall stumble and fall, but listen to this. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, here's what he's saying. They that wait upon the Lord, you can't run. Work. Busy. And never take time to sit before the Lord or kneel before the Lord and open his word and nourish your spirit from his word and your soul, your spirit with him in fellowship. You cannot do that and walk in the strength of the Lord. If you fail to do that, you won't. You won't. Because you see, I just have to keep going back and reminding myself, here's how he worked in Abraham's life. Here's how he worked in Joshua's life. Here's how he worked in Daniel's life. Here's how he worked in David's life. Here's how he worked in Paul's life. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now how are you going to work in my life? Same way. You see, this helps me keep my focus right. That my focus has to be him. It is his life and not my life. His strength, not my strength. His energy, not my energy. His wisdom, not my wisdom. His sufficiency, not our sufficiency. And I want to say to you, no matter what your role in life is, if you will trust him day by day and moment by moment for the strength you need to accomplish it, you will succeed in whatever God calls you to do. And Father, we thank you for making it simple and plain. Thank you for the wonderful example of the Apostle Paul. And thank you that we don't have to become weary, worn, get discouraged, disillusioned, and check out of our individual responsibilities in life. But we can rely upon you as our life. Look to you as the source of all that we need, and know that all we have to do is to believe you. And our simple childlike faith releases within us all that we need to become and to achieve to your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.